Saeed Esmael prostrated himself toward Earth, nearly 400 million kilometers back in the direction of the sun. He felt his stomach heave and vomited blood on his prayer mat and wondered aloud why Allah had abandoned him. At that moment, he was hit with massive weight, several G's at least, and a twisting, wrenching, totally disorienting surge that made no mental or physical sense. In his weakened state, all Saeed could do was let his body be tossed from wall to wall inside his tent and hope that he would not tear the airtight fabric. He heard somebody screaming, and then his stomach heaved again, and bloody vomit filled the space around him, flying this way and that, finally collecting on the tent walls. The lights went out, and someone still was screaming, but as the wild gyrations began to settle into a repeating pattern, Saeed realized that he was the one screaming, and he couldn't stop. He reached for his head, pulling out fistfuls of hair, and he screamed again. He retched, but his stomach was empty, and only a little bit of blood mixed with spittle left his mouth, flying at an odd angle to the tent wall, and he screamed, but quieter now, and screamed some more, but quieter still, until his screams morphed into a frightened whimper as he curled into a tight ball on his prayer mat. About 55 days earlier, a subdued bong captured Saeed's attention. A comforting female voice announced, "In 5 minutes, we will pitch over and commence our arrival burn at L4. Please make sure you are securely strapped into your seat and that you have stowed any loose items you might have been using during the transit. Remain securely fastened in your seat until the arrival announcement tells you it is safe to unbuckle and move about." Saeed checked his harness and curiously looked out the port. He saw nothing but stars, more stars than he had ever seen, and off to the rear, the beautiful blue marble that the Earth had become. Praise be to Allah. Then the star field began to rotate, accompanied by a slightly higher pitch from the gyros that penetrated Saeed's conscious perception. The blue marble moved with the star-studded sky until it was positioned above the capsule's port bow. While this happened, Saeed felt no movement. His only sense was that the sky had rotated, as if Allah had reached out and rotated the heavenly backdrop with his mighty hand. Weight returned with a popping hiss as the kick thruster ignited for a few seconds' burn. As his weight vanished again, the gyros whined, and the sky began to move from right to left. In short order, Saeed could see the moon through the ports on the other side of the capsule. It appeared no larger than it did from the Earth, but the left side was one that Saeed had only seen before in holographs. He could not see the mirror's complex, although he knew it had to lie off the starboard quarter. Weight returned again, for about a minute, as the restartable kick thruster slowed their velocity to match the orbital velocity of the Russian Federation-built Mir's complex as it circled the Earth in the Moon's orbit, 385,000 kilometers ahead of the Moon. Several clanks and surges later, Saeed felt his normal weight gradually return as the capsule nestled into its berth in the capsule arrival bay of the main Mir's ring and picked up its rotational speed. Bong. "Welcome to the Mir's ring," a bright female voice announced. "It is now safe for you to unstrap and move about. You may disembark to the left side of the capsule. Lavatory facilities are located immediately to the left of the passageway. Your personal belongings will be available in 15 minutes at the baggage handling dock down the passageway to the right. We know you have choices when traveling off-planet. We thank you for using Slingshot and hope you had a pleasant trip, and that you will think of us the next time you leave planet Earth."